Now he's going to move into the 16th chapter, and he's going to say, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And let me read on, verse 2. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Now I'm going to break off the reading there at verse 3, because this is a tremendous section that we're looking at right here, and it's connected with what he said about the hatred of the world. Now it's quite interesting of what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you," that is the things back here in the 15th chapter, "that ye should not be offended," that is, that you should not be scandalized. Now, it's been the characteristic of the founders of the religions of the world. They always attempt to present a glorious future for their organization and their religion. And they also tell those who will join up the wonderful benefits that they're going to have. That's the method of the world today. And they never tell you, however, about the hardships and the disadvantages and the privations that you'll have to suffer and the sacrifices that you'll have to make. They never mention those. They just tell about the others. But you notice how different our Lord is. Now, I know that back in the 14th chapter, he promised them a glorious thing for the future. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself." But he made it very clear that if you're going to follow him down here, it means to forsake all. And he said that the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. He didn't have where to lay his head. And then he talked about if you're going to follow him, you'll have to take up your cross, not his cross, your cross, and follow him. And that if we suffer with him down here, we're going to reign with him here. You see, he was despised down here, friends. And not only despised, he was rejected. And he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he said that his followers are going to be in the world, but they're not going to be of the world. And that the world is going to hate them. That's the thing he's made very clear. And he says it's not going to be easy for you down here. And yet the professing church today has gone out into the world, and instead of taking the position of Christ, they boasted of the fact they're going to convert the world. And they, of course, haven't done it in 1900 years. But to do it, they've always had to popularize religion. That is, they've had to make it something very attractive to the world. And you find right now there are all kinds of devices that are employed today. And they are used to attract the ungodly. I noticed that the music has had to come down to the level of the world. And they say, well, we have to do this to win the world. Who told you you're going to win the world, friends? May I say that right now, I'm not talking about liberal churches. They went off the track years ago, many of them before I even entered the ministry. But my friend, today it's fundamental churches that are going off the track. And you will find out that in many of our fundamental churches you find enemies of the Word of God. I've noticed in fundamental churches today they do not attack the Bible. No, they wouldn't dare do that. They attack the man, who is generally the minister, who is preaching the Word of God. And they attack him. That is their way of attacking the Word of God. And you'll generally find in our churches some leader, an officer generally, or some prominent member of the church who has taken upon himself to try to run the church and try to run the pastor, which is dead wrong, by the way. He's to be the leader of the church. And as a result, you'll find those people are never there when the Word of God is taught. But yet they are attempting to throw their weight around and how the church is being hurt today. May I say to you, my friends, if you stand for the Word of God, you're going to have enemies. And they're going to make an attack upon you. You can be sure of that. And I want to say this to you very carefully. If in your neighborhood there is a good Bible-believing church, and you are driving past that church to go to some great big mausoleum that's not holding up the Word of God, I say shame on you. Because you need today to support those that are standing for the Word of God, because they're becoming few. I know of many ministers that have left the ministry. I heard of one recently that walked out of the pulpit and walked out into a second-hand car concern, and he's selling second-hand cars. And he says he'd rather deal with second-hand cars than second-hand Christians. May I say to you how tragic it is to see what's happening? And I know one church, it's not a large church, but there's one man in that church, he's a deacon, he's already destroyed three preachers. One man left broken in health, another man got out of the ministry, and another man, young fellow, he got out in time and he wasn't hurt, but he sure learned a lesson. May I say to you today that the Word of God, if you stand for it, you'll find out that you're over on His side and the world won't love you. That's the thing that He's saying. Now notice what He's saying here. He says, "These things I've spoken unto you that ye should not be offended." And the word is stumbled. The word in the Greek is scandalizo, which means scandalize. In other words, He is warning them ahead of time. And He does that in order to strengthen them and let them know what's coming. And He loves them right on through to the very end. And He's letting them know that He'll be with them and He knows what they're going to go through. Now, He makes it also very clear that they would not be offended. And yet He said that very night that they would be offended. Back in Matthew, He says, "You'll be offended." And what in the world did He mean by that? Well, He meant simply this. He knew what was going to happen, but He's warning them of that in order that these men might know what's coming. And in knowing what's coming, and yet He knows that they will fail. He knew that Simon Peter would deny Him, told him he would, but He sustained him through it. Why did He tell him ahead of time? And yet He knew He was going to do it. It was, my friend, to establish human responsibility, that men might know that they are responsible to God. Now He says they're going to put you out of the synagogues, and the time will come that whoever kills you will think that he's doing God's service. May I say to you that that means that they would be excommunicated, and in that day it was a terrible thing. And today, there are a great many people that are reluctant to leave their crowd in a liberal church. Another group are reluctant to take a stand in a conservative church against a little clique, just afraid to stand for God in these days. Well, my friends, if you're standing for Christ, it's going to cost you something. And I'm very candid to say to you today, and I know this is not popular, I can say things lots more popular than this, but if you're standing for Christ, it'll cost you something. And if you're not about to stand for Him, you don't want to pay the price, then I would say to you right now, back off in a hurry, because it'll be coming to you before it's over. And so they're to be excommunicated, He says. Not only that, He says, "And these things will they do unto you because they've not known the Father of Me." Now the reason for it is because they do not know the Father, and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see what He's doing? He's tracing this hatred of the world for Him right down to its source. Why does the world today hate the Word of God? Why is it that the world hates a genuine believer? Well, it's because of the fact that they have not known the Father, and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ.